This message is brought to you by Whiting Community Church in Whiting, Vermont. Real people, real faith. Here's Pastor Billy Jones.
How do we stop and make sure that we get all there is to get out of a year? And how do we make sure it's a happy year? As I was thinking about this, I thought about John chapter 13, verses 15 through 17. I'm going to be reading out of the Good News translation, but you can follow along in whatever translation you have. But in verse 15, it says, "I've set an example for you that so that you will do just what I have done for you. I am telling you the truth. Slaves are never greater than their master, and messengers are never greater than the one who sent them. Now that you know this truth, how happy you will be if you put it into practice." John chapter 13, verses 15 through 17. John chapter 13, verses 15 through 17. I love how he closes this. He tells us what the truth is. He tells us slaves are never greater than their master. Messengers are never greater than the ones that sent him. He says that he's been set as an example so that we will know just what we should do, because it's already been done for us. It's an example. We can pattern our lives after his life. And now that we know it, how happy we'll be if we do it. That's the secret to happiness. You know how many people have been looking for the secret of happiness for like the last forever? I mean, how many books, if you walked into Barnes & Noble's or go on to Amazon.com and go to the search bar and type in keys to happiness, you know how many books would pop up? You know how many self-help, seven keys to happiness, similarly titled books would pop up? I'm guessing 500, 600, 700 books probably. I didn't do it. I should have done that. I should have went on there and Googled it, and I could have told you. I would be shocked if it is less than 500 books. I bet you it's more closer to 1,000 books. Happiness books, how to achieve happiness, how to be happy. Right here in the Gospel of John, penned 2,000 years ago by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, God himself gave you the key to being a happy person in the new year, any year, in the middle of an old year, any time. The key to happiness is knowing the truth and doing the truth, practicing the truth. Jesus spoke these words to his disciples right after, and this is a weird thing, and this is mind-blowing. This blows all the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel people right out of the water, because here's what Jesus is doing. He spoke these words right after he finished washing the disciples' feet. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like feet. Anyone here? Maybe I shouldn't ask that question. I don't like feet. They're gross. They get dirty. They're nasty. There's weird things happen under toenails. They creep me out a little bit, okay? Don't like feet. And my top list of jobs, my favorite job in the world, certainly would not be foot washer, all right? Now, in Bible times, they wore sandals. They didn't wear shoes like we have shoes. They certainly didn't have boots unless you were a soldier. And even then, even the Roman soldiers wore a sandal type shoe. It was open toe. And you're walking around. They also did not have septic systems, okay? And they did not have pavement. They had cobblestones. And so as you're walking around in Jerusalem, you never know what you're going to step in. And you got camels, and you got cows, and you have donkeys, and you have horses, and all of that, using the same streets that you do. And you're walking around in your sandaled shoes, whatever, open toes. And the number one thing that a host would do for you when you came in his house would be to offer to have your feet washed, mainly because he doesn't want what's on your feet on his carpet. He doesn't want, and I don't know if they had carpet, but on his floor anyway, okay? He didn't want that in his home. And so as you come in, you would have your feet washed. And usually, especially if this person was elevated in stature, he would have servants. And it would be a servant that would wash your feet for you. And not just any servant, because if you've been a servant for a while, you don't want that job. You kind of graduate out of feet washing job. That's the bottom. Like if you were just hired today to be a servant, that would probably be your job. It's an entry-level job, okay? It's the young person, usually a kid. You get the 12 or 13-year-old slave boy or girl to wash your feet. It's a gross job. Nobody wants that job. The creator of the universe, the author of life, and the bringer of our salvation is girded in a towel, washing the disciples' feet. Has a bowl, water, sponge, towel, doing that gross, dirty job, washing the dirt and the filth and the slime and the scum and the dust and other things that we won't talk about off of their feet. And he says, as he's drying his hands, you know what the key to happiness is? Anyone else see the contrast here? Vermonters, I tell you, you're like, no. I just don't see it. Wake up, people. This is crazy. No one here would volunteer for this job. And if I were to take off my shoes, and my feet are clean, but I took a shower this morning, you know, but if right now my clean feet took off my shoes and put them in front of Doug and said, Doug, can you give me a touch up? Doug wouldn't be happy about that. That's not the key to Doug's happiness, is cleaning my feet. It's just, I know Doug well enough to know that that's really not, he's not going to get all excited about that. None of you would. And here's Jesus saying, I got the key to happiness. You want to be a happy person? Do what I do. Clean feet. Serve. Serve. Listen to this. This is fantastic. That is a way of introduction. I really want you to get this. If you want to have a happy 2014, these principles that I'm talking about here can change your life. You know, we've had a great last year. 2013 was spectacular for Whiting Community Church. Probably one of our best years in the history of the church. We've saw some amazing things, some wondrous things, some exciting things. We've had another record year financially. We added a building to our property where ministry can take place and Sunday school can be taught and office space can be had. We've renovated pretty much the downstairs, just a few more touch-up things to get done, some taping and mudding and some paint and some appliance installation. And we have a brand new downstairs. It's warm in here. Some fantastic things have happened here just building-wise. We've had great attendance all year long. Our attendance is through the roof from what it's been in years past. We've expanded our small group program. I'm currently training up a whole nother batch of leaders for our small group program. That's exciting. We've added more Sunday school classes to our Sunday school program. We really need to split some of those because they're getting too big. That's good problems to have, good news. We've added several new families to our fellowship. How awesome is that? Brand new folks who are serving and worshiping and living, doing life with us. We had a wonderful Easter production, a great vacation Bible school. Remember the town festival that we had down there? Wasn't that fun, where we got together with all of Whiting and celebrated Whiting's 250th birthday and as a town from when they were chartered? An amazing time at Field Days. How about the marriage conference that the Potters put on? Wasn't that spectacular? I've heard nothing but great things about that. Our Christmas Eve service just most recently, a service that was touching. I've heard many lives were touched from that. And we've seen the gospel of Jesus Christ go out into our surrounding communities over and over again all year long. And those things are things to celebrate. And our church is happier because of accomplishing those things. Our church has a happiness, a feel of joy about it because of those things, because those things were accomplished, not because they were successful, not because we gave out a certain number of gospel tracts at Field Days or because we've, you know, had success in these different areas. The success isn't where the happiness comes from, but we're happier because God told us to do something and we were obedient, and we did it. That's where the happiness comes from. That's where the joy comes from. God very clearly tells us as a church how we as a church are supposed to operate, how we're supposed to function, what we're supposed to be doing, and we did it. And that's why our church is happy. That's why we have joy in our church. And you know what? I want 2014 to be better than 2013. There is so much more that we as Whiting Community Church can accomplish, so much more that God has asked us to do. So I want to look at four things that we can do to ensure that Whiting Community Church has an even happier new year, and that you as an individual also can have an even happier new year. The first thing that we need to make sure that we do, that we need to have our feet firmly planted and grounded in, is we need to make sure that we have a firm grip on our beliefs. We need to make sure that we are a people that believe. You see, a dynamic faith will enable us to defeat discouragement. A dynamic faith will empower us to live the Christian life victoriously. That means that we can have victory in the things that come our way, the things that come that want to block us, that want to cause us to stumble and trip and fall. We can have victory, but that victory comes in our belief and our faith in Jesus Christ. Our faith isn't... And it's important in what you believe, too. A lot of folks out there say it doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you believe something. And that is just, to use a good Southern word, you know, I'll help you. That's hogwash. That's what that is. That's foolishness. It matters what you believe. If you want to be a happy person, if you want to be a person that has the joy of Christ within them, you need to believe in that work, that finished work that Christ accomplished. Our faith in His power to supply every need that we will have in this new year will give us every reason to rejoice, every reason to be happy. You know, we sang, Blessed Be Your Name, and I love the words in the song, and I've said it before, maybe you're new, you haven't heard me say it. The first verse, it talks about the good times. Blessed be your name. Isn't it easy to praise Him in the good times? The second verse talks about, the not so good times. And it's like, you know, sad, depressing verse, lyrics. And then, blessed be your name, right? And then the third verse, we're back to happy again, and it's all the sun shining, and it's all wonderful. And then the fourth verse, it's deserts and dryness and crustiness. And it's like, and I love it because it's like, I'm happy, blessed be your name. I'm sad. Blessed be your name. I'm happy. Blessed be your name. I'm sad. Blessed be your name. That's written that way on purpose because that should be our lives. None of us are promised all good times. None of us are promised that if you're a Christian and if you believe in Jesus Christ and you walk with Him, that you're never going to have a trial, that you're never going to have a problem, that you're never going to have someone get on your nerves or someone do you wrong. We're never promised that, but we are promised that if we put our faith in Him and our trust in Him and our belief in Him and we walk with Him and are faithful and obedient to what He's commanded us to do, and if we believe those things, that He will make even those bad times work for good. And we can praise Him for it. Blessed be His name. That belief is paramount to your happiness. You ever run into someone and they're just all happy and cheerful and you're like, oh, why are you so happy? And have you ever had anything bad happen? And then they look you in the eye and say, well, I have cancer. and they're still bouncing around and you're like, what is going on with that person? Are they touched? They have cancer and they're all happy. That's what God can do for you. And I pray that none of us in here that happens that we get cancer or anything. But if it did, what would your reaction be? You get that prognosis that is so feared. What would your reaction be? Would it be, blessed be the name of the Lord? I hope so, because it should be if you believe. You want to have happiness? Believe. Second thing. Well, let me back up just a little bit. Let me give you four things to believe in Believe in his power to save. Believe in his power to save. Hebrews 7:25 says, "Hence also he is able to save forever those who draw near to God through him." Those who draw near to God through him. He has the power to save. Do you believe that this morning? There is no happiness in life without the belief in his power to save. Two, his power to strengthen. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Says Paul to the Philippians in chapter 4, verse 13. He has the power to lift your arms. He has the power to give you the strength to put one foot in front of the other when you feel like you can't even get out of bed. He has the power to help you defeat depression. He has the power to help you get through those tough times, those struggles, the battles with the spouse, the battles with the children, the battles with the parents. He has the power to get you through those things. He has the power to strengthen. Three, he has the power to protect. Joshua 1:9 says, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and of a good courage? Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." That is a powerful verse. Then, and you're like, yeah, but that's Old Testament. I am so glad I serve a God that is the same yesterday and today and forever. And the God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament, is the God of today. I'm thankful for that. And if God tells Joshua that he is with him, that he doesn't need to be dismayed, that he is with him wherever he goes, then I sure can believe that he is with me wherever I go and that he will protect me. And if I am here in Vermont driving down these icy roads, or if I am in Saipan in my little concrete house wondering when the robbers are going to come, that my God is with me regardless and that he will protect me if I am in his service. You have that same promise. He is with you. Light, dark, woods, plains, fields, doesn't matter where you're at. He is there to protect you. Believe that. Number four, his power to provide. The great psalmist David wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Paul wrote to Philippians, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory." How? By Christ Jesus. But my God will supply all your need. You know, we as Americans have to be careful with this verse. We really have to be careful with the whole idea of happiness too, because all our, especially my generation and younger, we have this idea that our needs are quite different than what maybe God would think our needs are. Your needs are not necessarily, you know, the newest iPhone out on the market or the newest iPad or the newest car or even a great big house with a two-car garage. Those aren't necessarily our needs. But every need that you have in order to accomplish the mission that God has given you, he will make sure you have it. You will never want for what you need to accomplish his purpose. Let me say that again, because that's important. You will never want for anything that you need to accomplish the purpose he has given you. Does that make sense? There, and what Christ is trying to tell these disciples in this whole foot washing scene is this: you will never be happier than when you are doing what I have shown you to do. You will never be happier than when you are serving me, Jesus Christ. You'll never be happier than when you're serving him. And you will never need anything to do that, because he will provide it for you. His power to provide. We got to believe that. The second thing that we need to have in order to be happy is we have to have some obedience. And so the second word I want you to write down is simply behave. Behave. It applies to adults too. I say that all the time to my kids. Behave, behave. If I had a dollar for every time I say that word at home, right, just behave. Oh, it applies to us too, though, right? We got to behave as adults. It's often said that what we do speaks so loud that others cannot hear what we say. What we do often speaks so loud that others cannot hear what we say. For this reason, the Word of God places great emphasis on the believer living a godly life, a holy life. Our behavior should exemplify Christ. Not only should we do what he did in acts of service, caring for others, feeding the poor, sheltering the homeless, taking care of the orphan, taking care of the widow. Not only should we do all those because Christ did them, but we also, our behavior should line up. It doesn't matter if you're feeding 10,000 children if you're living like the devil. Doesn't matter. Your behavior needs to be consistent with your words. For this reason, the Word of God does. It places great emphasis on a godly and a holy life. We need to live, our behavior should exemplify Christ, should match Christ, should line up with Christ in these areas. Number one, just our daily life, our daily going about, our millings around. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men. What light are you shining? What light are you putting forth out there? Are you putting forth any light, or is it darkness? What light are you presenting? It should be, if you want to be happy, if you want to cue in on that joyous spirit that only the Holy Spirit can give, the light that you should be shining should be a direct reflection of the light of Christ as he purifies and sanctifies you. Two, our behavior should exemplify Christ and our witness before the world. Let your light so shine before men that they might see. That they might see. See what? Your witness. The way you're living. You should be living the gospel. Also in our church fellowship. 1 Timothy 3:15 says, but if I tarry long, that you may know how you should behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. This is kind of a funny verse to me. It's not funny, but it just strikes me funny. I get tickled sometimes with things because my mind wanders. Anyway, what this verse is saying is simply, let me paraphrase, church, behave yourselves when you're meeting together. Anyone here ever been to a church meeting where a bunch of full-grown Christians did not behave themselves? Nathaniel was quick with that hand. I have. You know you have. If you've been in church more than two times, you probably have seen this. Go to a business meeting, people's tempers get all flared up, people start yelling and screaming at each other, or at least piously raising their voices in the name of righteousness. You know? They're not behaving themselves. They're making fools of themselves. This verse is saying, don't do that. You want to be happy? You want God's blessing in your life? You want to have joy in your heart? Behave like Christ wants you to behave. Stop putting yourself first. Put him first. Put your church first. Put the well-being and the health of your church family before your pride. A lot can be read into that little verse there. Behave yourself, church. I think this is relevant because just so happens, next month we have a church business meeting. Church, business meeting coming up. Behave yourselves, okay? And I'm putting this out there now so that when the business meeting comes, if anyone starts acting up, I can say, remember 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15? Okay? Now, I'm going to just park on that just a second, and then we'll keep going. We are having our business meeting coming up. Our treasurer is actually on vacation. As soon as she gets back, her and our accountants and our trustees are going to get together and finish up the books for last year and quickly put out a budget. That budget will be made available to the church body. And my goal is to have it available at least two weeks before the business meeting. The business meeting is actually going to be the second Sunday of February. Usually it's the first Sunday of February, but it's going to be the second Sunday of February this year so that our finance team will have the time that they need to get everything put together. And our budget meeting, when it's time to approve the budget for the new year, my goal is to have absolutely zero discussion about it. I want an up or down vote, yes or no. And the way I'm structuring this is this. The budget will be in your hands for 14 days before that meeting. And if you have a question, an idea, any type of discussion, whatever, you have 14 days to get it hammered out, to ask your questions, to get them answered, to have things adjusted or whatever. And so that way, when the meeting arrives, if there needs to be a change, the leadership already knows about it, and they aren't blindsided and trying to backpedal, trying to figure out, well, what do we do now? That's just a smart way to do things. It's the proper way to do things. And by doing it that way, we can eliminate the temptation to misbehave. Make sense? Good. That's the way we're going to roll. So if all works out, you'll have it 14 days before the business meeting, and we'll be allowed to behave ourselves. Amen, I hear. 3, beware. Beware. To be forewarned is to be forearmed. You want to be happy in the new year? Beware. To be forewarned is to be forearmed. The Word of God gives us ample warning to beware of certain and real dangers that confront us in our daily Christian life, in our daily Christian walk. Tom Clancy wrote a novel, Clear and Present Danger. Anyone ever seen that movie? I think Harrison Ford starred in that movie whenever they took the book and made it into film. Clear and Present Danger. And this movie, it goes out how the United States is in danger of these drug cartels and these terrorist attacks and everything, and all those books kind of blurred together, and I can't remember exactly all the details. But it was very real, this danger, and it was a nightmare, and people were getting hurt and all kinds of stuff. It was a clear and present danger. It wasn't a myth. It wasn't something that was going to happen in the future. It was now. Christians, we live in a world where spiritually, around every corner, there is a very real and a very clear and a very present and an imminent danger. We cannot go through this life with any amount of happiness or joy if we are not aware of that. And I'm not saying creep around, oh, woe is me, I'm about to get stomped on by Satan. That's not happiness. Just being aware of it and being prepared for it. Beware of, number one, the deception of men. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8 says, "Beware lest any man ensnares you through philosophy and empty deception, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Beware of those men. Beware of those men who say that it has to be done because it's always been done that way, but Christ didn't do it that way. Beware of those men who say that philosophy or modern theology or modern whatever says that this ought to be the way it ought to be, but then you look and Christ said that isn't the way it should be. Beware of those men. Beware of those women in this day and age. Beware of that. Beware of the snares of Satan. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." I love the imagery of this passage. It gives me such a clear picture of what Satan is really like. What was that show, Bob? Omaha? What was the nature show? Mutual Omaha. Mutual Omaha, the nature. Anyone seen that growing up? I don't even think it's on TV anymore. Loved that. I mean, you got the lion and he's sneaking through the tall grass and this poor little helpless little zebra is just, you know, loving life and enjoying this dandelion smells, and then wah, the lion comes out and it's all over for the zebra. He's done. And all the lions eat well that night. And that's the picture. Thanks, Dan. Appreciate that. I don't know, great-grandpa. Ooh. Here's the bad news. You're the zebra. I'm the zebra. The good news is we have great eyesight. We have a very, very bright, shiny spotlight to spot those lions. We should never be caught off guard. You ever notice which zebras usually get eaten in that TV show? The dumb ones? Is that what someone said? Young ones. Like the dumb ones. I was going to say the ones that aren't paying attention. Or the sick ones. The ones that aren't paying attention, right? The ones that have their heads down. They're not everything. Oh, la-da-da. And they're just living life. And they aren't looking for trouble. They aren't paying attention to what life might throw at them. Be sober. Be vigilant, Scripture says. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking you. Look out for him. Watch out for him. Be in the Word. This is your light. This is an iPad. But on this has the Bible. And the Bible is your light. I usually have a Bible up here. You can turn it on as a light too, you know. But wow, I really need a Bible up. There it is. It's missing. I know. It's worse. It's the new year. I don't know. The Bible is your light. We talked about it in Sunday school this morning. It is a light unto your path. Okay? It'll show you where to go. It'll reveal the bumps in the road, the speed bumps. It'll reveal the holes, the traps, the pits. It'll reveal the lions in the brushes before you ever in danger of them. Use it. Get in it. Dig in it. Beware. And also, lastly, beware of your own self. You know, you're your worst enemy. If you're like me, you are your worst enemy. Luke 12:15says, "And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses." Great verse. Beware of your own self. Beware of your pride. Beware of your greed. Beware of your covetousness. Every single person in this room has the same problems. There is not one person in here that does not have a pride problem. There's not one person in here that does not have a covetousness problem. There's not one person in here that doesn't have a sin problem. Beware of it. Don't get all down on yourself because of it. Because you're just like you're unique, just like everyone else, right? Don't get all down on yourself. You're a horrible sinner, but you're no worse than the rest of us. All right? I'm a wretched sinner, but no worse than the rest of you. And I find great encouragement in that. But you know what I find the most encouragement in? That my Lord and Savior shed His precious blood to pay for my sins and yours. And because of that victory on the cross, I can have victory today. And that pride that I have that makes me say things and do things that I should know better than to do or say, I can have a victory over that because I can say, whoa, stop, wait a minute. Power of Christ is more powerful than that sin. It's more powerful than that pride, and I can control it through Christ. Beware of yourself. You know, the Christians that get in trouble are the ones that think they've arrived. Oh, look at me, what I've accomplished. Oh, God sure is lucky to have me in the fold. Those are the ones that get in trouble. Those are the ones that fall. Those are the ones that do the most damage in churches. Number four, last B word for you is belong. You want to be happy this year? You want to be happy in 2014? Belong. It's impossible for anyone to be genuinely happy without a sense of belonging. I've met some people that say that they would truly rather be alone. But as I get to know these individuals, I find that they don't. No one was made to be alone. Remember, Adam was created alone. And what did God say after about 2 seconds? Oh, it's not good for man to be alone. You know, I have kids, 3 of them. And sometimes I really do want to be alone. But that usually doesn't last very long. And I can't wait for someone to come back in my life when I have those solitary moments. It's not good for anyone to be alone. A man is not an island unto himself. Every child of God can rejoice in the blessing of belonging to Christ and to his church. Part of being a part of the church with a capital C, part of being a member of that group called the bride of Christ, is being a part of the group. That's the benefit. You're in a group. You're in a body. You're not alone. You belong. You belong to Christ. Mark 9:41 says, because you belong to Christ. It doesn't any clearer than that. 1 Corinthians 7:23 says, you are bought with a price. Do not become servants of men. You belong. You have been purchased. You belong to Christ. Take comfort in that. I'm not a real big, proponent of slavery. Country has a horrible history with that stuff. But I sure am thankful I'm a slave. I'm a slave of Christ. He bought me. He purchased me. I'm his. And I love that. Find joy in that. You belonging to him. You know what that means? That means he's responsible for you. That he's going to take care of you. And that the only work that you have to be worried about is his. That's so freeing. You belong to Christ, but you also belong to the church. Acts 2:47 says, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Whiting Community Church is a special place. I have grown to love this church more than any church I've ever been at my whole entire life. My whole entire saved life. I was saved at Trinity Baptist Church and just outside of Salisbury, North Carolina. 5 years old. I've moved around a lot. I've probably been in at least 12 different churches in my life. This is my favorite. Hands down my favorite. This is a special, special place. Because the people here love each other. And the people here love God more than life itself. And this is a very special place to belong. You want to find happiness in 2014? Find your spot here. I think this church can help. Because this church points to Christ. This church is serious about its business of doing Christ's business. This church is serious about seeing the gospel go out into the community. Seeing souls saved. About seeing lostness overcome. About seeing churches planted in dark areas. I think that 2014 is going to be a great year. I think that Whiting Community Church has only scratched the surface of what the larger picture plan that God has for this tiny little church and this tiny little town and this tiny little state. And I stop and think about it sometimes. 380 some odd people in this town. Little bitty, quaint New England white church with a steeple in a state that's one of the smallest in the whole union. And that is statistically the least church state in our country. And I can't think of a church anywhere in our entire world that I've ever been that I would rather be in, or one that is doing more for the kingdom of God. That's saying something, you know what I mean? Love this church. I'm excited about what 2014 is going to bring. I'm excited about what he's going to do in your life, about the opportunity he's going to open up for you, about the people he's going to send into your life that you're going to be able to share the gospel with and share your life with, about some of the tests and the trials that are going to come your way and our way, and the chances that we're going to have to be victorious over them, that Christ's testimony would be made even brighter because of what he's brought us through. Yeah, I'm excited about that. Some of you are saying, no, I don't want that. Yes, I am excited about that. We all should be. Blessed be his name, right?
This presentation is brought to you by Whiting Community Church. Real people, real faith. We are located in the heart of Whiting, Vermont on Route 30. Sunday school classes start at 9:30, following a time of coffee and fellowship. Our Sunday morning worship service starts at 10:30. Join us for a midweek Bible study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Learn more about our thriving small group ministries gathering throughout the week in Whiting, Orwell, Cornwall, Shoreham, Sudbury, and Brandon. To learn more about Whiting Community Church, please contact Pastor Billy Jones at 802-623-7171. Or you may reach us on the web at wccvt.com and at Facebook/Whiting Church. Thank you, and may God bless you.